hate starting the show with COVID, but those were the two big updates. You know, obviously we were all hoping to get football. All of us except like Dan Walken. And it is weird watching certain people in the media root for the virus and root for football not to be a thing. Like, those people are actually out there. And I think it's just a real, like, thirst for being correct, right? Is that what it's become?
I saw where Jimmy Himes was getting after that ass.
When Jimmy Himes drops the hammer on you, Dan Walken, it's time to log off, right?
Jimmy's getting after his ass.
When Jimmy Himes is bringing the hammer out for you, please log off, Dan Walken.
Dan Walken's everybody knows that guy's a cuck.
He's awful. I don't know if anybody really likes him, right?
He's not even respected by his peers.
Yeah, I was going to say, people in his industry don't really like him, and they probably don't respect him after the Greg Schiano stuff got leaked, and the John Curry stuff. Like, I mean, that was a black eye on him.
He was on his knees for Curry.
Right.
I mean, he's just trying to get a little scoop here and there, you know? I mean,
a little drizzle of scoop.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's he's a hack. It's very obvious, you know. So his peers don't respect him. Does he have readers? I mean, I guess people read his stuff.
I mean, if you're in the USA Today,
I think he's probably getting page views.
I think if you're in the USA Today, you still get readers, right?
But I don't think it's because it's Dan Walken.
No.
Nobody's seeking out his work. You know what I mean?
If Dan Walken went independent, I don't think Dan Walken would have a following. Like, I think his following comes from the brand he's at. He worked his way to be that brand. I understand that, but I'm just, you know, at this point, there are very few people I think who could go independent and survive or take an audience with them. Dan Walken is not one of them.
My favorite picture on the whole internet is the meme of him with the
penis shaped head,
the foreskin on it. Can you say foreskin on the air? Who cares? It's my last week. But yeah, that's probably my favorite meme on all of the internet is Dan Walken,
literally, as a penis.
Yeah, as his head.
Yeah,
which is literally. I mean,
no, it's a good one.
Like, if you call him that word, you know, D head. I mean, literally, you can use that.
Sure,
that meme.
You have photographic evidence to back it up.
Yeah, nobody likes Dan Walken.
But him, Pete Famel, I mean, really all the people that have already been kind of on Tennessee's bad side, like the people that we have been beefing with for a while, they all seem to kind of be reveling in the fact that this is going sideways and that, like, sports could be in danger. And it's ironic because they are ultimately rooting for their own demise. Like, they will get laid off. They will lose their jobs. And who knows when they will get them back, because this, you know, we've been talking about the ramifications for the next couple months, but man, like, if this goes sideways this year, this could have lasting effects for, you know, years to come if all this money gets lost. And, like, it's going to have ramifications in local economies for years to come, at universities for years to come, and I would say in media businesses who are out trying to pay people to get content and all that, like, they're going to be recouping losses for a long time. So it's just been wild to see, like, certain people rooting against him. And I get the idea of it because, like, you have the thirst to be correct, right? Like I said, you want to be right. And you want to be justified in being careful. And you want people to understand, hey, if you live a certain way, you are going to hurt society. If you don't wear a mask, you're going to hurt society. If you don't take this serious, if you think it's a hoax, you are going to hurt society. And then you're going to be punished by not getting football. And then you're usually met by Southern college football fans. I would say 60-40, 70-30, somewhere around there, of people saying, I'm not wearing a mask, not happening, you're wrong, hoax, whatever you want to call it, not that bad, 99.5% of people recover, whatever the numbers are.
It's my God-given right.
Some of that stuff, but just some people saying, I'm not putting on a mask, or it's not, you know, like, you're not going to shame us or try to scare us into this, and we're overreacting from this virus, and we've been making things up as it goes along, and you have CNN backtracking, even though CNN was, like, the first people to tell us, like, hey, don't buy masks. Don't go out and get masks. Like, leave the mask to the professionals. It's not going to do anything to stop this. It's not going to do anything to help you. And, you know, that was, like, the first thing we were told, like, in February from people. Like, you're actually a jerk if you buy a mask.
The best thing about the mask, though, that personally I've enjoyed, is we don't have to see the ugly people as much. You know, they're not as prevalent.
Everyone is much more attractive with the mask on.
Of course, it works the same way with the pretty people. You don't get to see all of the pretty people either, you know?
So really, it's just a net neutral?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I was at, you know, occasionally I go by Twin Peaks to pick up some chicken wings.
Sure.
And
I haven't heard you talk about that recently.
Well, it's, you know. But I, this was maybe a month ago or so, but this girl that I was talking to there, she said that this group of guys was like freaking her out because they were like, pull down your mask, honey. They wanted her to pull down her mask to
smile.
Let me see your, I want to see your face, you know. And she was really creeped out by that.
And it was you and your roommates?
No, it wasn't us. I was just picking up some wings. Sure. It was a group of guys, older gentlemen.
They just want to see you smile.
Let's see that pretty smile.
So like, I get the idea of like you, like I said, they want to be right. They want to show people this is what you get for not listening. You should have been, you know, rejecting all of the people telling you that this was not real and that you had to take precautions. Like, that's where this stems from, is just them wanting to be right. And even though they don't understand that, like, it's going to ultimately cost them money, job security, and a sport that they're supposed to care about, right? Like, it does seem like a large number of sports journalists do not care about sports. It's really, I mean, yeah, just they just don't care about sports.
Yeah.
Like, they got into journalism. Like, they wanted to do journalism. They wanted to feel important. Like, sports will be fun. I like sports enough. And then as they cover it, like, you realize they don't actually like it. And you can grow out of it and have different interests. I get that. But then they get stuck in the industry and they can't go somewhere else. So, like, now they're just stuck covering a sport and kind of getting sick of the fans they deal with, it seems like.
It's easy to burn out if you're not a junkie.
And that leads to these guys, like I said, just seeming like they just don't want the sport to happen just at the sake for being able to say, I told you should have worn a mask. And, like, that just seems backwards. It just seems kind of crazy to me. But I think that's where we are.
It's weird that there would be people that don't want to see the sports happen. I understand if it's like some of these, you know, liberals in the art industry. They don't really care for sports. But you would think a guy in the media would want sports.
I mean, I think if given the option, they would pick, like, hey, like, if it's yes sports, no sports, they would probably still vote yes. But, you know, some of them might say, hey, we can't have sports because it's not safe for the athletes, which it's always funny when people are on this high horse now about the safety for college athletes as they have, you know, most likely benefited and profited off of their backs and, you know, didn't really help support them at the times of for getting paid. And also, like, oh, yeah, the CTE and the dangers of it. Like, they're fine with profiting off of football, but now it's going to be a little bit too dangerous, a little bit too much to ask these players to go out and play during a virus. So, like, that's always a little odd to me.
I think they're more worried about the perception of it. I think if it were really left up to them that they would not care to risk the players, but they know that it would be a PR problem. I think that's more likely.
That could be a case, and it also could be like, I mean, have we get people for being hypocrites all the time, right? Like, that's our favorite thing is, like, gotcha, right? I mean, like, so can you be someone who's saying, hey, don't go to the bars, hey, don't go out, hey, be careful, don't get people sick, but also, like, hey, go play football. Kids, we want to see sports, and we don't care if you get sick, and maybe you mess up your lung capacity, maybe you go get a teacher or professor sick. We don't really care because we want to be entertained. Like, is maybe that it, like, the dilemma of having to be hypocritical because we love to call people out on being hypocrites. Like,
this you. They don't right. want to be gotten by the old this you.
I mean, and I
hate strawberries. Actually, you said in December 2015 you love strawberries. This you? Well, I changed my mind.
Well, I mean, there is something to that. And, like, I mean, like, you know, you if you have certain stances, we have shown here in America recently with the NBA, if you have one take on human rights, they want you to have it all the way across the board. And, like, you know, everything LeBron James and the NBA has done to try to do something, it always comes back to a what about China. And look, I think that's a fair critique of LeBron James. I do think that's the biggest mistake he's made of his career. What he said to Daryl Morey to me was worse than what he did with the decision. Like, it was tone deaf and it was bad. But again, like, we've made it seem like you have to care about everything equally and you have to be consistent. So again, maybe these sports writers who have been telling everybody stay inside, wear a mask, blah, 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 you're going to die, the virus is coming and everything. Maybe now they're like, hey, we can't just go out and say we got to play football because, you know, the virus is coming and you're going to die. So right, maybe they're just trying to be even across the board. That way they can, you know, stand on a high horse.
Yeah, maybe so.
Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
You've heard a lot about CBD.
Talked about it a little bit yesterday, but the crystal balls continue to pour in for Kenny Chandler coming to Tennessee. It looks as if Rick Barnes has figured out the whole recruiting thing here at Tennessee. I mean, we knew that based off of last year, but It looks as if that's going to have sustained success. And this is, you know, it's not the same level, Cody, but this is, you know, comparable to getting a five-star quarterback in the sense that you hope that this will lead to people wanting to come play with him. You know, Kenny Chandler is the number 11 player in the country on 247's composite score. He is the number one point guard in the country. The crystal ball is pouring in for him. Kim English, you know, I gave Rick Barnes credit for recruiting, but Kim English getting on staff, I think, has been, you know, a huge, huge factor. And he's the primary recruiter here, and he is looks like he's getting Tennessee an elite point guard. And like I said, it's comparable to the football situation of getting a great quarterback on board, and you hope that then you'll have some receivers and people wanting to come sign up to play with him. With Chandler, you hope this leads to like a big man wanting to come run some pick and rolls with him, or like let him get out on the floor and you're feeding him, or some people out on the wing. Like, this is a Final Four type of commitment here if Tennessee is able to land him. And, you know, Grant Ramey from 247, you know, those guys are usually more conservative when picking people to come to Tennessee, because I think they want to try to remove any bias and like double and triple check because they know that their names carry weight. But Grant Ramey went ahead, put his in for Tennessee, and Kenny Chandler said expect it between, you know, now and the fall. Like, anytime it could happen at any moment.
Yeah, he's one of those elite guys that you'd really like to land.
Yeah, I mean, when your comparison is to Eric Bledsoe, that might not get a lot of people excited.
Former Patriots quarterback.
That was Drew.
Weird comparison.
Well, that was Drew.
They were brothers, though.
Sure, but I mean, one was good at basketball, one was good at football. You know, Eric Bledsoe, you know, might not be one that gets you overly excited, but Eric Bledsoe was somebody who came in with just a lot of strength and a lot of athleticism. And to me, that name gets me a little bit more excited than maybe most people, just because, again, Eric Bledsoe was kind of a bulldog that had elite athleticism and strength. And, you know, he was kind of overshadowed by John Wall, right? I mean, like, his college days at Kentucky overshadowed a little bit because he happened to be there with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. But of Chandler, they say, plays with surprising strength and explosive athleticism, which, you know, what Eric Bledsoe does. So, you know, you get him there, and like I said, you hope that that will be a moment that takes Tennessee's basketball program to another level.
Best point guard in the country.
I mean, if you could pick one position in basketball, that'd be the position you pick. I mean,
to have the best player in the country?
Yeah. I mean, that's the guy with the ball in his hands.
That's kind of your quarterback. Runs of the team.
And like I said, it's not like football in the sense of, like, you know, if you get a five-star quarterback, that's nice, but in college, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win games, right? Because you have to fill out everything else. Like, you have to worry about your offensive line. You have to worry about your defensive line. You have to worry about your secondary, your wide receivers, everybody. Can you have somebody catch the ball? Can you have somebody block the ball? With basketball, it's obviously not like that.
Yeah, if you have the best player at that position, I think he can have a bigger impact than he would on a football team.
Like, assuming that you have at least above-average players at every other position, or SEC-caliber starting players at every other position, like, that having the best point guard in a class should take you at least to, like, the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm going to say, especially in March. That's when it really matters.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you look at guys who have, like, led their teams to championships, maybe where they have been not talented enough at other positions, like, it's I think of point guards. I think of Kemba Walker. I think of
Steph Curry, Davidson Roy.
Yeah, Shabazz Napier. I mean, Curry was more of the two there. They had that little lobster guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like Curry was more just, like, you know, scoring. But, I mean, Steph Curry was creating, like, and just drawing so much attention. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, like I said, you look at UConn, you look at those guys who have, you know, been carried. It's a point guard that you want to be able to trust. Like, I mean, John Morant putting Murray State on their back. And, I mean, one game in the tournament?
Yeah.
At least Marquette.
Yeah.
Or did
– It was Marquette. Yeah, they beat Marquette. It was him versus that one guy.
Marcus Howard.
Yeah, Marcus Howard. Is he still there?
Marcus with a K.
Was he on the Golden Eagles team last night?
No, he was not. If he would have been, they would have ran away with it a little more.
I have
more,
no clue how old that guy is. I feel like he's been in my life forever, so I didn't know if he was still around.
I think he just left Marquette, I think.
We didn't get to see his last tournament run, I guess.
No, yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, he could put the ball in the basket.
He could put the ball in the basket. So this is, like I said, if you're able to get this commitment, you hope that it sets up your 2021 class to be better than your 2020 class. And your 2020 class was supposed to be the best, you know, in your school's history. And if you could top that in back-to-back years, and then you hope that, you know, maybe one or two of these guys stick around, Tennessee could have the most talented team it's ever had, you know, in 2 years. If we ever get to play sports again.
They may have the most talented team they've ever had this upcoming year. Some people are saying that even. As far as just pure talent. Like,
well, I mean, you're going to have potential. What? You're going to have 3 5 stars on the team?
Yeah. It'll be the best you've had, you know, just star potential since Scotty Hobson and Tobias.
So you're going to have 3 5 stars? I mean, with Josiah being there? Yeah, 2 5 stars in this class.
He's not really... At least not yet. I mean, he hasn't really shown.
Well, I mean, he wasn't the one and done type of 5-star, but I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's a good SEC
flashes.
Player. Yeah, I mean, he's a good SEC player with a good body. I mean, you put him. Yeah. I think Josiah. You know, when we ever see basketball again, like I think Josiah will be someone who benefits immensely from playing with better players.
Oh yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean? Absolutely. Like I think if you put him on a really good team, then he will. Those small things he does then becomes really valuable, and like he will. Be much more appreciated because he doesn't have to be the 5-star on the team that's supposed to be doing everything crazy, and he doesn't play that way. So, like, the pressure on him will go down by having these other 2 guys come in next year. 3 guys, really, but, you know, 2 elite wing players. Like, you bring them in, and all of a sudden the pressure is a little bit lower on Josiah, and hopefully he's more comfortable, and you quit judging him as, like, hey, carry this team, and more like, wow, look at all the little stuff he does.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that's better, like, running the team than taking over, like you said. So, yeah, the better talent definitely will help him. I think he may thrive in that.
Yeah, making smart passes, rebounding, doing things like that. I think that will help him immensely. So, no, he's not like a 5-star in what you would usually think of 5-stars. And I do hope that these other 2 guys and Candy Chandler, and if more 5-stars come, that they are the explosive, awesome kind. But some good news for Tennessee. Again, if we ever get to play sports again.
Oh, we will. We will.
Eventually.
It may not be in our lifetime. But
it's not going to be till the end of August, right? Didn't the SEC come out yesterday and cancel everything until August 31st?
Was football included in that?
No, football was not included. Football gets the pass, which you know, we'll see. That's another part of the story, right? Like, we haven't talked about that angle of it, but if you play football, you have to play every sport, right?
You would think so.
I mean, like with title. I mean, like with Title IX, though. Like, I mean, I don't really understand.
That's kind of out the door, though, isn't it? With the.
Well, I feel like if you're honoring the scholarships, I don't think Title IX's technically a factor because you just have to have the same number of scholarships. So I don't know if.
Yeah, but does it have to be the same? Through? Does it not have to be the same like level of opportunity too, though?
I just think with the pandemic,
if you're you're getting to play your sport, you're getting to, you know, maybe. Earn money, which, you know, obviously you could then point to, well, volleyball's not on TV as much. Like, that's not an equal opportunity. But I don't know. You, Cam, you know, you had more access to D1 athletes whenever you were over at UT with the track team. Like, you might know a little bit more about the Title IX stuff than I do. But I would just think it would be weird if they're like, hey, all the non-revenue sports, sorry, guys, like soccer, you don't get to play. We can't risk you getting sick just because you're not bringing in millions of dollars for us. We're just going to make these football players do it. Is it fair to say that if they're going to play football, they have to play everything?
I mean, that would make sense for sure. Like, I could see how they try to get away with not doing it, but also, like, I think kind of what you're talking about with the equal opportunity part of it, I think you'd almost have to play some of the, at least like the women's sports for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you look at the men's, like, hey, sorry, men's swimming, like men's tennis, we're not going to play you, but like, yeah, I mean, like, if you just have men's sports in the fall and it's just football, like, that doesn't seem like it would fly or at least it would open you up to some legal issues on the back end. And I would say that, like Cody is saying, like, you know, call it even. It's a pandemic year. We got to do what we got to do.
I think they'll deal with it on the back end. I think you're going to see a lot of that thrown out the door this year. Like, there's going to be some exemptions and stuff this year, exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't think that's going to keep them from playing football.
Well, no, I mean, I know, but, like, what I was going to say is, like, we know that the Title IX people take that very seriously. Like, they aren't going to look and say it's excused.
Yeah, but they'll deal with it on the back end.
We got bad history with Title IX.
Yeah, and Tennessee. Tennessee does have a bad history of Title IX. One of the stripes with a good point, you could argue outdoor sports getting a pass over indoor sports. So you could maybe, you know, volleyball, sorry, you might be a casualty because we're not playing indoor sports until the spring semester. But then you would look at you'd have to do the Rick Pitino model of, well, we can't do basketball either until January 1st. Because if you are canceling volleyball because it's indoors and you're saying, okay, well, basketball's still firing up in October.
That's why I think college basketball is going to have a real problem. With it being an indoor sport.
And obviously with outdoors, you would have women's soccer out there.
Yeah,
which would...
I think the stuff they bumped back was women's soccer. And then, like, cross country would be outside too.
Yeah.
And I definitely know cross country would have been practicing in August. And the women's soccer team actually had, like, scrimmages and games
in
August.
I was going to say, I thought they would have regularly scheduled games.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I think they're missing at least three or four from this pushback.
That's what I would have assumed.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm sure the people at the university are smarter than, you know, us on it and know what they're kind of doing, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I'm just like, it's stuff that the audience maybe hasn't thought about and, like, how that's going to be affected. And I do wonder, like, when we're talking about the safety of the players, like, we just kind of keep thinking through the lens of football players, right?
Yeah.
But, like, what happens if all the other teams are ransacked with tests, or, like, what happens if they can't play? Like, does that legally tie into football? Because, you know, it's all about equal opportunity. Again, if they're getting to go to school, like, that is kind of what I thought the problem was, Cam. Like, you know, they wanted equal number of women to have free education as equal number of men on sports. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they are still honoring their scholarships, which Tennessee has come out and, like, basically every school has come out and said, hey, even if you opt out and don't play, if you're on the team, or even if your season's canceled, like, we're honoring your scholarships.
And I think that's the... Like, at the simplest form, that's the gist of Title IX.
Sure.
It's just matching scholarships. So I think honoring that covers at least that part. But, yeah, I don't know if the whole opportunity part is affected with this at all. I'm not sure how it gets down to, like, the technicalities of it or whatnot. But at the basic sense, I think just honoring the scholarships, you'd be all right. But, yeah, that's probably stuff for the legal team and stuff like that to kind of worry about how far in depth that kind of stuff goes. But
I do think it's an interesting wrinkle. And, you know, something else we kind of talked about early was what happens with Trey Smith. And I do, when I see the names of, like, or when I see that, you know, people are getting sick here at Tennessee, players, I do, like, where's exactly where my mind went first was, hope it's not Trey.
Yeah.
That's another one of the reasons I kind of wanted some of those names to maybe come out, but I get the idea of protecting people. So, Title IX, I mean, like I said, it's not like they're known for giving people a pass. Like, they want what they want, and they want it all the time type of thing. So if it comes down to equality and opportunities, I do wonder if they would be fine with seasons canceled type of thing. Just something to think about. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is in a...
Coming out of Cody's favorite coach's press conference, an interesting quote. Eli Drinkwitz. You've got the Corona bros, and you've got the people who think it's fake, and they're just rooting against each other, and I'm rooting for the United States to beat the virus.
Corona bros cracks me up.
That's from Dave Matter, who covers Missouri for the St. Louis Dispatch. But I will say he did Eli dirty with that quote, by the way, because when you read that, you think of he's downplaying it, right? You think, oh, Eli must be a Clay Travis fan and uses the term Corona bros unironically. Thinks it's actually a good insult. And then, like, it worked for this guy. He got me to go click the story because, like, Eli doesn't seem like that type of guy. I mean, looking at Eli, he seems like a nerd, right? He seems way more like he would be a scientist, trust the data, trust the numbers guy. I was shocked when I saw that Eli was maybe a Clay Travis guy. I was like, wait a second, what? Eli? Could have swore he was a nerd.
Yeah, he seemed like a guy that'd be like, well, actually.
Yeah, statistics show that the curve is trending back upwards, and we must trust the data.
So he said it's just the Corona Bros against the hoax people.
Yeah, but then he went on, and like his actual quote, like he is on the side I thought he would be on. He was basically just like, I get there's arguments on both sides, and for some reason this has been politicized, but I happen to believe this is good health, public health policy, he says, as he's wearing a mask. He's basically like, I'm wearing a mask. Everyone needs to wear a mask. Like, even if you don't think it works, why not try something new? It's basically what he was saying. Is like, hey, we're not, you know, a large part of people aren't wearing masks, and like this virus is spreading, and like it's putting everyone at jeopardy. And, you know, are coaches in danger of losing like a whole year of salary, or at least like half a year of salary? They've already agreed to take 10% pay cuts across the board, pretty much, right? Yeah. Never officially, did that happen in Tennessee? Did Pruitt and them take pay cuts?
I don't remember hearing that they ever did.
For some reason, I thought there might have been a story, but I can't remember. But like, what happens if like there's no football season? Will those coaches then be asked to like, hey, we're not going to pay you all the rest of the year? Like, hey, we need to renegotiate this contract. We need to save some of this money next year. Like, that, you know, so there's obviously coaches have some money in the game, and Eli's like, hey guys, just wear the mask. Let's just try something new.
That's not going to work, Phil. I'm going to need all my money.
Does it solve
every dime so that I can coach football at SKU?
Does it solve all the problems? I don't know. I'm a football coach. I know how in order to get things done, everybody has to buy into a collective mission. For us to beat COVID, we've got to buy into the collective mission.
That's not going to happen, Eli.
It may not
We're past that. We're far past that. We're not all buying in, okay?
Well, that's what he's asking
Half
people.
Half of us are not buying in.
Well, that's what he's asking, saying, please, just buy in.
It's not going to happen, okay? We're going to just keep doing what we're doing.
Well,
Half of us are going to wear masks. Half of us aren't.
To this, I will say, I don't think Eli Drinkwitz is the unifying voice this country needs. I don't think
he's
he
not
going
to change.
I don't think he is the voice of reason, even in Missouri.
Yep. There's really only one guy that could come out and just say, we all have to wear masks, and that's what we're going to do. Please wear your mask. There's really only one guy that could send that message.
Who is that?
And he's not going to send it.
Who is that?
What do you mean, who is that? You know exactly
who it is.
What
is it with you and your impressions? Why are you trying to do so many impressions today?
That's only like my second one.
No, it's not. You did two of Bill Clinton and George W.
I've now done the last three. Would you like me to do an Obama too?
I mean, you just did
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
You just did a Jeremy Pruitt one too. So, like, I mean, at the very minimum, that's number four.
So, four presidents and one coach.
Yeah, at the very least.
It just
least,
happened to work out that way.
I mean, I was just wondering. Like, that's at the very least four, maybe five impressions we've hit. I'm waiting for the Amy Klobuchar to come back at some point.
Amy Klobuchar. I'm a liberal.
I guess I'm frustrated with the fact that the people argue against it. Why are we not willing to try it? It's gotten to the point where supposedly on Twitter you get on and you see the Corona Bros, and then you got the guys who think COVID is fake. Now you've got both sides rooting against each other, and I'm just rooting for the U.S. of A. He said the United States of America. It sounded way more bro-y when I said the U.S. of A.
He didn't say the U.S. of A.
I'm just rooting for the United
States. We'll stick a boot in your ass.
My bad, Eli. I'm just rooting for the United States of America. I'm just rooting for us to beat the disease. I don't care who's right or who's wrong. And, like, that's kind of what I was talking about with, you know, the sports media members. Like, it is a, like, we don't want to be wrong type of situation, I think. And, you know, there's a large part of people that probably don't want to yield and be incorrect.
Yeah, this country's reign has pretty much come to an end.
We're no longer the world power.
We are on the tail end of our, you remember the Roman Empire when it got toward the end?
Mm-hmm.
You were around then. We're pretty much that's where we are. And really, it's not even
drive by old joke.
Really, it's not even just this country. Really, it's just the human race. I mean, we're playing out the string.
Time's winded down.
We're playing out the string. We're circling the drain. Whatever metaphor you want to use. I mean, we're not long for this planet.
Yeah, we're really bad at keeping this planet nice.
We've been well, like bought I said, off.
You know, yesterday we talked about 100 years. Like, I'm taking the under on that.
We've all been bought off. We're just consumers. I mean, it's
give us a 2050 at best.
Yeah, I mean, Americans are probably the best example, but I'm not just saying it's our problem. I mean, the rest of the world has trouble too, but, you know, we are probably the glorified
most
example.
Stubborn about it.
I think. I mean, we're done. It's over.
It's a wrap.
It may not end during this pandemic, but, you know, give the species another, what'd you say, 100 years maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're checking out.
It's a wrap.
Yep. I think nice. So. I think so. And, you know, we had a good run. We had a good run. We, you know, there was the Model T. There was the development of the telephone. There was the, you know, railroads. I mean, the interstate system we built, you know, thanks to the Chinese, just incredible. Incredible, connecting all parts of the country. You know, but that's
cool.
It. That's where we're at. Railroads?
Yeah. I saw railroads.
Thanks to the Chinese. Did the Chinese build the railroads or the interstates?
You're the one who said it, bro.
Railroads?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it was
interstates. Who built the interstates?
Didn't the interstates happen like during World War II or World War I? Didn't we do it? Wasn't it during one of the World Wars we built interstates that way we could maneuver things easier?
No, I don't know.
Wasn't that a thing? Or is that why the Autobahn was built?
I don't know.
That is that why Hitler did the Autobahn, so they could like get tanks and stuff like down there or something?
I've always
like
wanted
that
to drive on the Autobahn.
I thought it was during the war.
The interstate system was launched in 1956.
So after the war, so that wouldn't be it.
We were trying to build a road to Alaska, I think.
1 in 5 miles of the interstate system is straight, so airplanes can land in emergencies. I didn't know they planned that.
Yeah.
I knew airplanes randomly like landed on the interstates, but I didn't know it was like planned.
1 in 5 miles is straight.
Yeah.
Even like going through like
if it's a part of the interstate system,
it has to be. It's like even going through the mountains up here, like when you're headed towards like Asheville or whatever.
I guess.
It doesn't seem like
part
there's
of the interstate system. I don't know.
I mean,
what would qualify
40.
You.
I mean, it's still I-40. Yeah.
That stretch between like Newport and Asheville, it doesn't seem like. It
doesn't seem like you have a very long straightaway there. And if you do, it's like going under the tunnel.
Yeah, some of those places. It's hard to even.
Loophole, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says though about the interstate system. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that's why they did that. I mean, you wouldn't think you like. That's the thing.
That's planning ahead. That's
yeah. I mean, if you're building an interstate in New Mexico, you know, you wouldn't really have a problem because you can just, you know, it's just flat and straight. But kind of tough in the mountains.
Oh yeah, interesting.
That is interesting. But yeah, it was a good run.
It was fun.
I enjoyed being a human for a while.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we'll be reincarnated as a species that can still live here.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe like a koala bear. No,
koalas are functionally extinct already.
Yeah, they're going extinct, aren't they?
Well,
probably
they
need
just
to be a reptile.
Functionally extinct, they just don't have like a niche in the environment anymore, so they're basically useless. So
I mean,
it wouldn't matter
they sleep
if they
for 22 hours a day, right?
Yeah, pretty much. They
seems
all have chlamydia.
Pretty useless.
Lots of stuff.
Chlamydia and sleeping for 22 hours a day and then eating the other
Sounds like a college student.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Talk Sports, Fan Run Radio. From NFL Now, all quiet between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Seems as if Dak Prescott is going to have to go out and win another bet on himself. How do we feel about Dak Prescott and his chances this year to play himself into a huge, huge extension?
I mean, he's got the weapons. He's got the weapons for it. So, I mean, if he doesn't, I think you can use that in negotiating if you're the Cowboys. Because you'd be like, hey, we drafted you a first-round receiver. You got Amari Cooper. You got Michael Gallup. Like, that's a pretty good threesome of receivers. So, yeah, I feel like you gotta ball out if you're him. I mean, you have to.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Is like it does seem like he has a lot of pressure on his shoulders this year because there are no excuses.
Yep. I mean, Cooper's already crowned him NFC champion. So,
see something funny?
Somebody did a they made one of those bots, you know, like come up with stuff.
Oh, what were they?
And it was a debate between Trump and Biden.
Please send me that.
He said he forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Donald Trump and Joe Biden interviews and then asked it to write a debate between them. And it is gold. It is gold, as you would expect.
I love those. Those are my favorite things.
I'll send it to you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
You seemed like you had a good hearty laugh about it.
There was something about Joe Biden said, like, hogwash, and then I wash my hogs or something. It was pretty funny. I just sent it to you guys.
Cam, don't read it yet. Read it during the commercial break.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Read it during the commercial break.
Just professional
send
here.
Just send it to you guys.
Please.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, lots of pressure. Cody crowned him as a champion already.
Crowned him as a champion, and he is having to go out and bet on himself, but, like, at the same time, you know, Dak is going to have a roster and an offense that has a lot of talent on it.
Yeah.
So, what are the expectations? Like, it needs to be a top five offense, right?
I would say so. Like, you would expect it to be.
And I would say you also probably need to win some games, right? Like, I mean, you're going to have to make the playoffs.
I think you gotta win the division this year.
Now, I mean, granted, if the defense is just trash and, like, the offense is doing all they can, like, there's room for a wiggle there, but.
Did they got that safety from LSU? Is that who they drafted? Second round.
Oh, the second round. I don't.
Delpit, was that the guy?
They had a really good draft. So that might have. I don't know. I know they had a really good draft.
Yeah, I was surprised he slid that far. That's the guy they got. I mean, that was their biggest hole, was, I think, at safety. I mean, Jeff Heath wasn't ever anything special back there, so.
Plus, they were losing.
They got Trevon Diggs, the Bama corner.
Okay. They needed a corner, too. Yeah. But
they drafted a couple corners, so. The defense is the biggest issue, but like you said, I think the offense has to be top five. Like,
But ultimately, like, I mean, is there any real risk here for Dak? I mean, what are the chances that next year they replace him? Like, if anything, I would be worried. Well, I don't know. If anything, I would be worried about struggling starting and then Andy Dalton coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Andy Dalton is in the wing there. Like,
is that a realistic threat there that Andy Dalton could come in and snake him and be last year's Ryan Tannehill?
No.
I don't think they'd go with Andy Dalton. Like, I think Andy Dalton would be all right in that system because they have a lot of talent. Like,
sure.
I think he just wasn't ever terrible in Cincinnati. He just wasn't anything special.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Andy Dalton is their plan for the future either. Yeah. But, I mean, it is a similar situation where you had – it's kind of similar to Marcus Mariota, same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dak's been better than Mariota, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's no long-term investment there, and you're one bad stretch of play away from a team that, you know, Mike McCarthy, I would imagine is like – he came there to coach Dak, you would think, right? Because – new coach, you could say he's not married to him, it's not his guy, but you would think that was a big part of why he got the job is he sold Jerry Jones when I can turn Dak Prescott into Aaron Rodgers light. I mean, not going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers, but I could turn him into a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. So you would think that investment would be there, yet there's no long-term deal there. So what happens if he isn't great?
Yeah, I guess this would be a hypothetical. Say they go 2-2 to start the year, Dak gets hurt. Dalton comes in and they go 6-0 for.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like if Dak gets hurt, all bets are off. Yeah, if Dak gets hurt, all bets are off because they do have a competent enough quarterback that, like you said, could come in. They could do some things, and it might be at the point where he gets Romo'd a little bit. Where Romo, the same thing with him. Like he couldn't get the keys back from Dak because Dak had them at 13-3 or whatever they were.
Yeah, I think that's worst case scenario for Dak and I. Like, I don't think – like, I think, yeah, he's the guy they're going to end up going with long-term. Just, I mean
– because, I mean, I don't think they're – I mean, like, this last class of quarterbacks was probably the year to make a switch if you were going to make a switch. Like, we had some guys, relatively big names out on the market in terms of, Cam and Jameis and Bridgewater and things like that. And you stood steady with Dak. So I doubt the quarterback situation next year will be as good. I mean, you'll have Cam Newton in New England, but – One would think if he is good in New England that he will keep that job in New England. And if Jameis is good, like you would think New Orleans doesn't let him walk next year. Like, I mean, whether or not they give him a starting job or starter money, like they would probably give him at least at the worst when Drew Brees retires, you would think if Jameis Winston hasn't set that locker room on fire, they would at least give him the option of competing for the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Taysom Hill's the future there.
Like, I mean, like I wouldn't even think it would just be 1v1 there for the job. You would think they would draft a quarterback too, but they would give Jameis a shot at it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think Dak's job is ultimately really, really safe. It's just really weird why they wouldn't go ahead and get this deal done. But if you're Dak, maybe you bet on yourself and the salary cap situation gets itself worked out, then you cash in next year.
Yeah, like you said, like if he does ball out this year, he'll get a lot of money. But if he does, for some reason, like struggle with all of his talent, I think like he'll still get the deal. But I think it just really hurts his money.
Sure.
And I mean, that's just so much leverage for the Cowboys. You're like, hey, we tried to build a team around you, and you didn't get it done. So.
But what does that say though? Because I mean, by all accounts, Dak was a top 7-ish quarterback last year, right?
Yeah.
And he bet on himself last year, and then he didn't get the money this year. Like, he got, he's playing under the franchise tag. He didn't get the long-term deal. And it to me, like, we've only seen this happen one other time that I can think of with quarterbacks, right? Was that not Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
I'd just start throwing picks till Jerry pays me.
Just start taking a knee?
I'd say
listen. Go out there, I'm kneeling down.
I'd say, listen, Jerry, I'm going to make damn sure we lose every single game we play until you pay me. And that's that.
And then Dalton's going to come in and be like, all right, I'll take the job.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
I do think Dalton is feisty enough where he could, he could be fine in that system with, that offensive line and those. I mean, I've always kind of liked Dalton.
I think he's a solid.
I think he is about mid-level. I think he's perfectly average somewhere. Yeah. Like, he's the 18th to 20th best quarterback in the league, and sometimes that's good enough.
Yeah, especially if you have the talent they're supposed to have. Like,
right.
You should be able to manage that, like hand it off to Zeke, make some easy throws to your receivers, keep it moving, and just hope the defense holds up enough. But
have there been any other quarterback situations like that, though? Because I feel like there are very few quarterbacks that actually have to go through and play on the franchise tag, especially after balling out. And the only one I can think of was Kirk Cousins, where they basically franchise tagged him 2 years in a row because they weren't sold on him. And guess what ended up happening? They ended up trading him or letting him walk to Minnesota. I don't even know if they traded him. They just let him go to Minnesota.
Yeah, I think he just walked, yeah.
They franchise tagged him 2 years, like, all right, we're good with you.
When they brought in Alex Smith,
but they traded, they traded for Alex Smith out of Kansas City, obviously. Mm-hmm. They just gave up a defensive back, I believe. So I mean, maybe you just wait and like some of the, year from now, 2 years from now, maybe you make a move or you have a better quarterback option. So maybe Dak's going to try to keep maximizing his guaranteed money every year, because that's what happens when you play on the franchise tag. Like, you can, if you play on it more than 1 year, you start guaranteeing yourself big time guaranteed money.
Yep.
And if you're him, you're like, I'll always have a spot in the league just because quarterback is a sparse position and I can play it as good as all but like 3 or 4 people in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, teams are so hesitant to ever drop a solid quarterback. Like,
sure.
Even if you're just slightly above average, they're worried about, like, well, what if the next guy we bring in is worse than that? So
sure.
They kind of get stuck.
But usually the only way they really make a move is if somebody gets a shot and takes your job. Because, I mean, like, the Titans were scared to move on from Mariota until, Tannehill came in, and it was just obvious that he was better. Now, obviously, like I said, Dak is in a better situation than that, mm-hmm. but the pressure is on him to perform well, for a good portion of the year.
Dak has a great opportunity too, because you got to realize all the good quarterbacks, or the few quarterbacks who are better than him, or the potential up and comers like the Tuas and the Burrows, all those guys are in the AFC. So other than, and the guys in the NFC, Brady Breeze on their last leg. So other than maybe Russell Wilson, I mean, he's got the potential of being the best quarterback in the NFC moving forward, And, I mean, because Rodgers is on his last leg. Breeze, Brady, they're all on their last leg.
I would say that he's still probably 3 years away from that at least, though, right? I mean, with Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is the only one who, me.
And your point, the changing of the guard is there. Like, Dak should be number two in the NFC. Like, it should be, like, in Seattle, like, we'll see what happens with the roster. Like, Dak is set up for the best long-term success.
In 3 years, maybe number one.
Right. I mean, when you look at the roster even now in Seattle, like, I don't think it's good enough around Russell. So,
Dallas's roster is better. And you say,
now some would maybe argue.
Not a great coach either. So, like,
some maybe would argue that Kyler in 3 years could catch Dak. Yeah, like, some people really like Kyler. I am not completely sold on Kyler as being elite.
I do need to see more from him, but he has the potential.
But people had him top seven, top eight, like, coming into this year. And I'm not quite ready to do that just yet. Although, you know, we'll see what happens now with DeAndre Hopkins and maybe his game goes to another level. And they do have the weapons, and Kingsbury is an offensive coach. But, you know, Dak should be in position, Cody, like you said, to be one of the two or three best NFC quarterbacks for the foreseeable future.
Well, we always talk about the window closing on guys, but we rarely mention the window opening. I think the window is opening for Dak. I think he's going to have a period of time here where he's going to have a really good team around him. I think McCarthy is a good guy to have as your coach. Like, I think his window is opening to where the Cowboys could try to have some big success in the next 3 to 4 years, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Eagles fans are yelling about Carson Wentz being better than Dak as well.
They're almost seem like hand in hand right now, but, like, I mean, Wentz has to stay healthy and actually make the play, like, play in the playoffs, like
make it through a game, right? Yeah, I mean, like, he hasn't made it through a playoff game yet, right?
I don't hear any.
Derrick Henry
fans
had as many passing yards as Carson Wentz last year in the playoffs.
Maybe their mouths are full of cheesesteaks.
As many passing yards?
Burn. Yeah.
Carson Wentz only had like 3 yards?
Yeah.
So he had more touchdowns?
I saw that stat. He had more touchdowns. I saw it like the other day and I was like, geez.
Why don't you yell a little more? Maybe you can crack the Liberty Bell all the way. Burn. Sick burn.
God, why don't you run up the Rocky steps?
Yeah. Why don't you yell at Rocky? See if he'll come back down. You know.
Got him.
Got him again. Philly fans. I don't want to hear anything about Philly fans.
You done?
Yeah, they're not even going to have fans in the stadium.
Booing their own team.
You have any more for them?
Yeah. Fly, Eagles, fly right into the side of a mountain. Got him again.
Keep going.
I'm running out of references. Quakers. Good oatmeal. Yep, see, I'm out.
Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family.
This segment is brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN. I did that. I'm going to play, and I got 15% off of my booking. KraftAxeThrowing.com. It's a good night out, or you can do it for some team building. You can go online and book your lanes today. KraftAxeThrowing.com. Promo code FANRUN, one word. Anything you want to power rank on the way out? We haven't done a power rankings in a while.
Well, off the top of my head, no.
Anything you want added into, like, the last edition of Overrated Underrated you'll ever play?
I don't know. When you put it like that, it's kind of sad.
Victor Oladipo, I think, has gotten kind of bullied into playing in this bubble. He had originally been the biggest name, saying, I'm not playing, I don't feel good, I'm worried about my money type of thing. He's a free agent coming up, due for a big extension. And basically the Pacers have come out and be like, yeah, we're kind of dumbfounded by this. When we see him in practice, he looks really good and really healthy. So now he has pretty much realized he's been bullied into playing and also didn't want to give up that $3 million salary that he was going to have to give up over these next couple games. And he says there is a possibility he could play. He's just reassessing himself and his body every day. So it's trending towards him actually trying to play for the Pacers, which is kind of wild to see, as they have bullied him successfully into reconsidering sitting out. Cody, your thoughts?
I don't really have any. Victor Oladipo.
Okay.
Nah, I don't have any.
Fair enough.
Do you know where he played college ball?
Indiana.
Okay.
Well,
that's cool.
Wow.
Man. You think I'm some kind of schmuck?
I was just wondering.
Wow,
you know,
Cam. Oof. Tough look for you, buddy.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Real tough look for Cam.
Trying to make Cody look smart on this last week. Sorry.
You know where Draymond Green played?
Michigan State.
Now we're even.
Good job by you guys.
You know where Aaron Kraft played?
Ohio State, and been in the TBT tournament.
There you go.
Keep going.
You're killing it. We're keep just going, gonna guys. Keep doing Big yeah, Ten see, schools.
Random
yeah, Big see Ten. Who can stump.
All right, here's one.
See
for
who
you.
Can stump the other with the most obvious name. That's the name of the game.
Here's one okay. for you, Paul Posluszny.
Ooh, we have switched sports, by the way.
I bet Cam doesn't remember that one.
I do
we have
not.
Switched sports.
My head.
Wow,
it sounds like a Notre
Paul.
Dame player.
I don't even know Paul Posluszny.
Close, Penn State.
Okay, that makes sense too.
I know you'd know.
Sorry, I don't associate with that university.
Guy didn't even watch football in 06.
I don't associate with that university. I wiped him from my mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was
I don't
during
support
the
them.
Time of the whole.
Sad you support
no,
them.
No, Posluszny was gone by the time that.
That was like mid-2000s.
Oh, was he a linebacker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
he was a great linebacker.
Okay, I do remember that.
He played for the Jaguars for a bit, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that guy.
Keep going, Cam. Who do you got? You got
Russell
back.
Westbrook.
Ooh.
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, no. This could be the winner.
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, no. You came with Paul Posluszny, and now you're choking?
I mean, no. I mean, so far, Cam's got one L.
Yeah,
know,
but
maybe I'll get one.
I specifically said that the point of the game was to stump the other with the most obvious name.
You're going to tell me Russell Westbrook
is more popular than Paul Posluszny.
More
yes.
well-known than yes. Paul Posluszny.
Yes, I will say
why don't you go to State College and ask him?
One was a top five pick. The other was second round, 34th
where,
overall.
Jesus, where did Russell Westbrook play?
Played at Buffalo first. Did go to Jacksonville. Yeah. Well, did play at Jacksonville for he had 11-year career.
I remember him like once I started thinking about
yeah.
it.
Can you tell me the year Russell no. Westbrook was drafted?
That would be 2008, 7? Was it 8?
I want to say yes.
I want to say it was 8. I'm going with 8. Maybe 9.
2008?
8, yeah.
Hmm. Eight. Did Oklahoma City, were they around yet? Did they draft him?
I believe he was their first draft pick, I believe. I believe they had just relocated. Because I think they just had 1 year of Durant.
I'm going to go with North Carolina.
Oof.
You are on the complete wrong coast. Oof. Wow, what a loss.
Damn it, UCLA?
UCLA, too late.
Oh,
you lost.
Jesus.
You lost.
Jesus.
What about James Harden?
Jesus. James Harden?
Oh, no. He's doubling down. He's trying to go. He's going to run through the whole Oklahoma City thing.
Where did this didn't start with this kind of a – where
wow.
did we go?
He's going with really big names, though. This is really sad, Cody. You are on the ropes.
Did,
James Harden.
Let's see. James Harden. Where did he go to college? What year was James Harden drafted?
He would be the year after, I think, right? Wasn't he 09? Yeah. I want to say he was right after.
2009?
Yeah,
he was
the
year
after.
Man, they were stacked.
They nailed two top five picks
man,
in a row.
I don't remember.
Oh, jeez.
I don't remember this stuff.
Oh, no. You shouldn't have got the game started. You knew you couldn't handle Cam in this.
No, I never
And he's going back with
could.
Back-to-back top five picks and MVPs. He's going with MVPs.
I think it's more impressive, honestly, that I knew Paul Posluszny. Jesus, James
Just
Harden.
For the record,
James
we don't Harden. Know if you knew Paul Posluszny. I think you did, but
I remember. Of course I knew where he – why would I even know the name if I didn't know where he played? Where
– This is a bad look for you,
Let's
Cody.
Let's see. James Harden.
Oh, no.
No beard.
No beard. You are correct. He had no beard in college.
It was a red team.
It was a red team.
Okay, you're getting there.
I don't mean to be giving clues, but
well,
I feel
I'm
like
thinking
he's on
the right.
Yeah,
I'm
that.
Thinking of the old pictures because I remember seeing, like, for some reason, one time I Googled James Harden with no beard, and, like, I remember seeing him in college. Oh, James Harden, where did he play?
Interesting
where did he
Google
play?
Search.
Where did he play? There's so many people in the audience right now just screaming.
I would say most of our audience probably doesn't know this question.
They're saying this big, fat idiot.
I think they probably
Thank
knew.
Thank God he's only here 3 more days.
I would say they probably knew Russell Westbrook, but they probably don't know this one. And I'm not even sure that they knew Russell Westbrook, to be honest.
Seton Hall.
Oh, I thought you said they were red. And on the and I thought you said
so
the
it's
West.
The West Coast. Stanford?
No.
Getting. I mean, you're warmer than Seton Hall. Arizona State.
Really?
Yep.
He was a Sun Devil. He went there to party. James Harden looked around and said, I want to go where the nicest looking girls are that like to party. And he got to Tempe and was like, this is the answer here. This is where I'm going. And James Harden has been living that lifestyle ever since.
I don't think it's that bad that I don't know. As a guy who doesn't really follow the NBA that much.
You need to go back to the well. Come on, you got to get Cam. Go with some. Go back
to
some mid-2000. Tiger Woods?
I thought it was my turn.
Okay, that's true.
Okay,
it is his turn.
Go ahead.
Where did Tiger Woods go to college?
Stanford.
Stanford, that's right.
I'll go ahead and say it. He can't ask you next time.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Let's see one that I know.
That Cam won't know. That the audience.
Cam
most of the audience
know.
Probably needs to know it. That's how you get points here.
Kevin Simon. Football linebacker.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I know he's a linebacker.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, no.
I got it now.
Yeah, that's
was Kevin Simon a big NFL player?
I don't know. But,
I don't think he
– He was drafted, I think.
Yeah, but he's just he currently works for the Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh. Well, there was really? The other Ooh. Kevin
he is
was
a,
better.
He
you
is
remember?
An NFL scout for the Atlanta Falcons.
There were two Kevins mm-hmm. at once.
Kevin yep. Simon.
He was selected in the seventh round. Of the 2006 Simon. NFL draft, so I don't think this is.
He was drafted, big draft pick. He's an important member of his team. I know that. I know that.
Front office of the Falcons. Oof.
Again, I don't know if this name is very big, and the NFL career wasn't there.
I'm gonna go with Tennessee.
Good guess. Good guess.
Oh wow,
okay.
Cam.
Okay.
Good guess.
Cam got it.
Bullet there.
Yeah.
I think we were giving him some clues with the whole, you know.
Well, when you realize he wasn't very good.
I heard somebody whisper, it's in this market, you know, so.
No, I was just thinking about, like,
all right, give
me
another one. Give me another one. I'll get this one. I'll get this one.
Maybe go football.
Damian Lillard.
Maybe
go
football. Okay, okay,
okay. Yeah, go football. I'll get football.
I'm trying to be a fair host here.
TJ Uchipanzada. Remember him?
Is that Oregon State?
Oh, I have no idea. I just remember that name.
Yeah, he was Oregon State.
Boom.
him and, yeah.
So far, I've gotten all these right, just for the record.
Oh, football.
I'm the real winner here.
It's a good one. I don't know.
Cam's choking on even giving a name.
James Conner.
Michigan State.
Oh, no. Oof. Cody. Oh, jeez. Oh, in the
Pitt.
Game.
Pitt.
Too late.
No, he's at Pittsburgh now. James Conner?
Yeah.
Was not Michigan State?
No. No. Ugh.
Wisconsin?
No.
Somewhere in the
Ugh.
Big Ten.
No. Ugh. What is wrong with you?
Calm down.
This is embarrassing. I'm dying over here from secondhand embarrassment right now.
I was thinking of Le'Veon Bell.
You know what? I'll give you another running back, huh?
It was Pitt,
Kareem,
but you said
yeah.
that
you
second.
You
oh, so I got it. Yeah.
You no, you didn't. You said Michigan
yeah,
State.
Yeah, I did.
You said Michigan State.
I was thinking of Le'Veon
you
Bell.
You could have Kareem Hunt then.
I was thinking Le'Veon Bell.
Kareem Hunt? This one's low on the radar of things people would get right and name value. So this is – Cam's going for a easy, like, 2 points here versus a home run. Do you know it? Kareem Hunt, do you know it? Do you know it?
What year did he come out?
I mean, he was a rookie, like, 2 years ago.
I want to say Pac-12.
You're close.
Somewhere in the West.
No, you're off. Like, I don't know if we're allowed to give you, like, clues and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
you're allowed.
It's not the
Yeah, it's
the
not the Pac-12.
Pac-12.
No.
It's in the West,
no,
though.
No,
sort of.
No,
Midwest.
It's
kind of.
No.
Definitely not the South.
Another one that I know that.
He got dropped in 2017.
Yeah, I was going to say his rookie, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I don't remember where he went.
Toledo, right?
Toledo.
Yeah, I'm so good at this game.
Good guess.
Wow, I'm undefeated. Never lost.
That's a good guess.
It wasn't a guess.
I mean, it seems like a good guess.
I mean, it wasn't
the
a guess.
The fact that you didn't know it and then
no,
you
I mean,
got
I 100% knew it. It was no guess. It ain't no guess. It's what it's going to be.
Sean Alexander.
Oh.
Ooh.
League MVP,
Ooh.
Right? League MVP, cover of Madden. This could get Cody back in the
yeah,
game.
This is. Ooh.
This could
ooh.
Get Cody ooh. Back in the game, just for the record. I know this one as well.
Ooh.
Still
ooh,
undefeated.
I gotta think about it.
Still
I...
never lost.
Sean Alexander.
Wow.
Oh, I know this. Sean Alexander. Sean Alexander.
I'm afraid he actually knows it, and he's just putting off
he's
like he doesn't
phone.
Know it.
No.
Oh yeah, he is. I see
yeah,
that.
You gotta get. Yeah, that's how you got.
Hey,
the Kevin.
What's
hey,
going
that's
on?
That's how you got the Kevin Simon.
What's going
that's
on?
How I got the Kevin Simon. Ooh, I should know this one.
This is embarrassing. League MVP. I don't know if he was an All-American in college. He was probably close to an All-American in college, right?
I know he played for the Seahawks.
Did he win a Heisman?
No, he didn't.
We're going to have to give you 10 seconds,
yeah,
Cam.
I'm pretty sure it's Alabama.
Yeah, he's cheating. Yeah, clearly.
Phone's over here.
Clearly.
Yeah, he's cheating.
All right, Cam, one more. Gino Toretta. Heisman winner.
I don't know this one.
I don't think I know this one either.
How about that?
I'm going to go Notre Dame. Just off.
Good guess.
I was like, so if he's a Heisman winner, I was like, he's got to be old school and it's got to be Notre Dame. I
hate to see it for Cody.
He just guessed all those. That's not fair. <key. laughs>
I was pretty sure I did the Sean Alexander one.
This is.
I was worried.
This is tough.
No, SEC he actually played at Miami. Geno Toretta played at Miami.
Oh, oof. I mixed up my Catholics and convicts.
Classic mistake. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
We know everyone has some pent up.
Really disappointed in Cody.
I'm disappointed in myself, John. I typically am.
I'm disappointed about the Russell Westbrook one.
Yeah, I feel like Cam should have got Paul Posluszny too. So
yeah, I did box.
How do you not get Paul Posluszny?
I used to love that Penn State team. Him and Tom Bali, those are my guys.
Yeah, Tomba was the defensive end, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, once you started talking NFL, I was like, oh, I definitely know that guy.
Yeah.
Because I remember his Jacksonville days.
Them being Ohio State in the whiteout game was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was a classic game.
I was supposed to get us like exempt from a test in AP Would. Western History or Western Civ. What is it? What are those called?
Yeah. Western Civ?
Some AP, maybe Western Civ class. I'd made
Humble
a bet with the teacher.
The AP.
I was the only person in there like getting C's. I don't know. It was a terrible idea. Like, oh, yeah, I'll take that.
Hey, but did they give you those 10-point bumps?
So I'll take the I don't know if we got the 10-point bumps, but we got like an extra like 0.04 on the GPA, but I got a C in the class. So I was like completely like backfired on what I was trying to do. But all my friends were in the class. Then I realized all my friends were smarter than me and like school more than me.
Yeah.
It was a fun class, though. Yeah. But I just never did good on the test or anything.
Yeah, those were my favorite classes, learning about the world, like civilizations and histories and stuff.
Me and the teacher had made a bet on Ohio State, Penn State that year, and I won, but I think we still had to take the test, and I was first time I saw that the world was cruel and not everyone keeps their word.
Your first instance of somebody not paying up on their bet.
Yep.
Was that the Orange Bowl year, or did that come later?
That was the year they played Florida State, and I guess that was
in the
Orange Bowl.
That was because that was Fraternal Bowden. Which is pretty legendary for its time.
Yep.
Those two guys going at it.
Michael Robinson. I loved Michael Robinson. He was a quarterback.
The receiver.
Michael Robinson was a quarterback.
The black quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying he's a black quarterback.
He's the quarterback who played
fullback. There weren't as many of them then.
He's the quarterback who played fullback, I believe, in the NFL.
He did?
Yeah. I believe he played fullback in the NFL. With the 49ers for a handful of years.
He was number 13, right?
That I don't know.
See, I read a
book. You've lost me on the number now.
Let me see. I read a book.
They did have a good wide receiver that year.
Hey, he's number 12. I was close. He was a big guy, too.
No, he played fullback in the NFL.
He was – I read a book about Paterno when I was, like, in middle school. It was, like, 05 or something. I read a book, like, his whole biography. Little did I know all the new information that would later come out, but at the time I
remember off on that book for some more stuff to come out.
I remember at the time though, like I was really into Penn State football just because I happened to be reading about Paterno, like learning about him. Like Tennessee was always my team. But
one of my best friends in high school had just moved down from Pennsylvania, so I rooted for Penn State with him. I rooted for all my friends to be happy, and it just so happened that like when my friends all moved, like when I made new friends, like I started helping root for their teams, like they all started winning. Like the Giants, the New York football Giants won a Super Bowl and beat the Patriots, and my best buddy AJ's from New York, so that was an easy bandwagon to jump off of. I was getting to root for Penn State. That was cool. Meanwhile, my team's kind of stunk for a little bit, so it was a nice little thing to be able to jump off of. Although in 07, we made the SEC championship.
Why do they refer to them as the New York football Giants, but they don't refer to San Francisco as the San Francisco baseball Giants?
Did the Giants not used to be in New York?
Yeah, they did. I'm just wondering, like, why that name stuck, but now they don't.
Because now there's only
San Francisco. That
there's only one.
Yeah, so you might as well just call them the Giants now. They're separated now.
Like I know they've never been the San Francisco baseball Giants.
I know. I just said New York's going to call their team that. Like been that, though. That.
But I'm just saying they've never been that. So
why they are now.
No, they're just the Giants.
You don't have to shoot down every.
I don't shoot down every. I've let you do all your impressions today.
Say,
and I've
everything I say, you don't have I've, to just condemn.
That's the first time I've shut down anything today.
It was just a little, you know, I thought maybe, hey, why not? Why don't we call it the, you know, the Atlanta baseball Hawks, basketball Hawks, you know?
They do call them the basketball club. The Atlanta Hawk basketball club is what they call them. They
definitely
call them that.
Not a club you'd want to be in if you like winning.
I'm not
see where the Braves got Yasiel Puig?
To a Bears fan, talk about winning.
I'm not a Bears fan, but hey, 85 Super Bowl.
Yes, I did see the Braves.
Yasiel Puig.
Signed Yasiel Puig.
How about that?
Between Yasiel Puig and Ron Acuna and Ozuna and Albies, they have a very Latin and fun, exciting team. And
Chipper Jones would be pissed.
Chipper Jones and Brian McCann would be upset. They would not appreciate that. It is a pretty big difference in culture that they had in the late 2000s. What do you call it? The first decade of the 2000s. What do you call that? Just the 2000s.
Early 2000s.
Sounds like a, right. Yeah, and then I guess the 2010s. I guess
I always say the teens.
The teens.
And now we're in the 20s. The roaring 20s. Really off to a hot start.
I mean, it's just like the old 20s, you know.
Yeah.
Can't go anywhere and drink alcohol. It's a
this
disease,
does seem
depression.
Like, it does seem like kind of a similar time period to, like, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Because you had the Spanish flu then.
Yep.
And then, you had World War I going on. And I'm sure there were some other things.
Yeah, there was a lot going on back then.
You have any thoughts on Yasiel Puig to the
Well, I mean, you know, the Braves are going to be a contender. I expect them to be the Dodgers' biggest contender.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
in the NL.
Know if it's because Yasiel Puig is on the team.
No, not necessarily. But I mean,
it makes them more fun, though.
Yeah, they're.
I think that team will fight somebody this year. I think there will be a fight.
I like fights.
I think there will be a fight somewhere between Puig and Acuna, and something will go down there.
Fight, fight, Latinos and the whites.
A little news for you that I'd appreciate D.R. Vol for sending it in. Amarius
I'll
Mims.
I'll deem whether that's news.
Amarius Mims, you remember him?
The big lineman.
Yep.
Yes. Has committed to?
No commitment, just released his top six.
Okay.
Alabama.
Sure.
Auburn.
Okay.
Florida State. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Georgia and Florida.
Oh.
Just kidding. Tennessee and
Florida. Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, yeah, you did.
Big dumb idiot.
You had me on the hook there.
Big dumb idiot.
It was right in my lip. You got the hook right in my lip.
Hook, line,
sinker. I can't
even
speak.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck.
Anymore, I think she hates me.
Back on the program, we got a couple of exciting days, I think, in sports. I am really looking forward to this Memorial Tournament teeing off tomorrow. I don't know if you saw what King Bryson, DeChambeau, said, but taking shots at LT Gray. Tiger going to be making his return to the course tomorrow. He always plays Jack's tournament. Bryson was asked about Tiger's distance off the tee. You know, of course, Bryson now is the big hitter on tour. Said Tiger was hitting it good, about 320, 325 yards. That's pretty good for his age, he says.
Who said that?
Bryson DeChambeau.
I hope somebody punches that guy in the mouth.
I think a lot of people want him to get punched in the mouth, but he's a pretty big old boy these days, so I don't know how many people would actually be man enough to go up and do it.
I ain't scared.
Well, yeah, but I don't think you're going to go do it.
If he said that about Tiger in front of me, I would. I'd hit him right in the face. What's he going to do, swing back?
He gets that golf club, man. He gets some pretty good torque with that driver. I don't know.
Yeah, he'd probably kick my ass.
Yeah,
he's I mean, Tiger, you shouldn't be taking shots at Tiger.
He's taking shots at Tiger.
The guy's the GOAT.
Bow before your new king.
Bryson DeChambeau.
I don't like that. He should have some humility and respect. Golf's a game of humility and respect.
Not anymore. Not these new age kids.
What does this guy think? He's Billy Madison?
Be happy, Gilmore.
I know.
I know.
I'm aware.
I know. I'm aware. They're played by the same character.
I'm aware. They're basically the same guy.
Little Nicky.
Little Nicky, not as good.
No, I wouldn't see that one in theaters. That was a mistake.
I actually liked that movie when I was a kid.
I did not like it when I was a kid.
When I first saw it,
I haven't watched it since the first time I watched it. I don't think
it's worth a rewatch.
That's why I never. Sure. That's why I never have went back and rewatched it.
Yeah, I did finally watch Uncut Gems. That's a ride. What a ride!
Didn't you say you watched it a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I watched it on the plane, which was over a month ago now.
Yeah, I was gonna say that seems like a
it's been while quite ago. Some time.
So you had Bryson calling out Tiger. We already know the beef between Bryson and Brooks Koepka. I do think the Memorial put together a really good list of the featured groups that people are going to get to watch on, you know, the apps and whatever. You will be able to see a lot of the top talent. They're going to be paired together. DeChambeau, Morikawa, and Cantlay, those are the last three guys to win at Jack's course. DeChambeau 2 years ago, Cantlay last year, and then Morikawa last weekend. It wasn't the Memorial, but he did win on the course. Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson in one group. That's a good group. Mickelson, Rose, and Lowry. That one's lacking a little bit. But then Rory, Tiger, and Brooks Koepka. That's going to be a pretty fun crew to watch.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, Rory, Tiger, and Brooks. I mean, those are three of the five biggest names in golf, at least, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, maybe you throw Bryce in there at some point. Maybe Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson, like one of those guys. Like, and Phil's still a big name, but Rory, Tiger, and Brooks, three of the five biggest names in golf. Maybe the two biggest names with Tiger and Rory these days, and then Brooks. His game's lacking a little bit, but he did finish yesterday, Friday's round pretty strongly, and I believe went 6-under over the last 10 holes. He missed the cut because he had sucked the other holes, but he had really made a run, so... he needs to get his game back on track, and you think that maybe him playing with Rory and Tiger and taking shots at Bryson and then kind of failing last week might get the juices going. So I'm pumped about that. We have a UFC fight night tonight. Got some sports there. And Cody, it's the All-Star race tonight. Bristol, baby. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing.
Boys.
Boys. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
R.I.P. Darrell Waltrip. He's still alive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's calling the race tonight. He said
is he really?
I think he is calling the race. He
oh, said, wow. I definitely won't tune in.
He said he was bringing back the saying, I believe.
Oh, great. Just what I'd hoped for.
Fox Sports says Darrell Waltrip will do his boogity, boogity, boogity to start tonight's All-Star
boogity,
race.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. I kind of do want to hear that.
I don't know if he is.
I kind of miss DW.
I don't know if he's like calling the whole race or they're just letting him do his one little catchphrase.
Are they letting a bunch of people end up there? Isn't
30,000 people?
Yeah.
30,000 people. Well, that's going to be a good test run for whether you like NASCAR or not. Like, that should be a good football test run.
Yep.
I would think.
Let's see. Let's see how these numbers do. It's a little wild to me that we're still allowing 30,000. Like, that's still happening, right, Cam?
Yeah, they haven't wavered from that. So
that's I bet you that
still
football...
happening, even though Knox County was one of the 14 hotspots in the country.
Yeah, Bristol's a long way from here.
Not really.
I bet you that is a big test run. I think a lot of football people are probably going to be sitting around watching that, or maybe not watching it, but you know, watching to see what happens after, see what those numbers look like.
How many people are in this All-Star race?
There's usually
who the hell is Garrett Smithley? Who
there's
the
usually
he?
Like 20 or
who's
so.
Who's Joey guys. Gase? Who's Timmy Hill? Who's JJ Yelly? Who the hell are these people?
I know JJ right Yelly. Room? You're not. You're. But you
are
must
you looking
be looking
at the open.
You must be looking at.
I'm looking at the.
Yeah,
All-Star.
You're looking at the open.
No, I'm not. No,
yeah,
I'm.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just with. No, I'm not. I see the open. It's below this. I'm looking. I know what the All-Star Open is. I understand what that is. But I'm looking right now at the All-Star race to win outright on my gambling site. It has Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Denley Hamlin, Kyle Busch at the top. I scroll to the bottom, and then it has Quinn Hoff, JJ Yelly, Corey LaJoie, Ty Dillon, Ryan Preece, John Hunter Nemechek, Bubba, is Bubba in the race tonight? I didn't think Bubba was in the race tonight. How many people are in this damn race? I thought there was only like 20 people.
It used to just be like 20 drivers.
Well, I know, but now we got some guy named Timmy Hill, Joey Gase, Garrett Smithley.
I've never heard of
any of
those
listed
guys.
Because if they win the Open, they get into
the main race. That's right. Good call, Cam. Okay. That's right.
So that's why they're still listed because
I forgot all
about it. Most likely they're not going to win the All-Star race. Like,
good call.
The Open.
That's right. If they win the Open, they get into the race.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's the Open is at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So basically, the people in this race.
And it'll be a short race, like an hour and a half race.
Yeah,
or an hour
I can't
race.
Remember how quick it is, but it's a pretty quick race.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. So basically, the people in the All-Star race are the 2019-2020 season.
Bubba's still 30-1 to win the
winners.
All-Star. Bubba's 30-1 to win the Open.
Former champions are in it too. Are there any old guys racing in it?
In the All-Star Open, champions? In the Open, or in the big one?
In the big one. Like Jeff Gordon is like
he's not listed.
Like maybe for like one race, I wondered if like Gordon or Dale
Jimmy
Jr.
Johnson.
Well, Dale Jr. is not a former. He's a former winner though.
Jimmy Johnson's in it, which I don't know if he would have qualified.
Still there's only 16 guys that are already like actually
saying,
in
it. I don't know if he would have qualified though.
Well, I know that all past champions and all past All-Star winners are invited.
Is Haley a past champion?
Who?
Haley.
No.
He's in the main race. He's like the only name I don't recognize.
He might have won like a random race last year or something.
I'm just ready for my guy Almirola. He's going to win the Open tonight. Let's go.
You're so big on that Almirola guy.
I like his name.
Almirola. Almirola to victory lane.
Cam, you got a call. You don't have to reply the whole like turning left intro. We got to get the overrated, underrated, Cody's favorite segment for the last time. Yeah. You calling your shot? Cole Custer going back to back. What do we got?
I got Chase Elliott winning it tonight. He was doing really well here last time in Bristol before Logano wrecked him. I think he's gonna be out for revenge and trying to get the win. So I got Chase Elliott winning it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and you know you are our expert. Is Brad Keselowski not really good at Bristol?
I'd like a.
He's pretty good. Yeah, he's pretty good at Bristol.
Did he win the last Bristol race?
A little credit,
Keselowski.
I think he did. It was kind of because he got open because they wrecked Chase.
Pretty sure I cashed a 10-1 ticket on Keselowski.
Yeah, so he's going to be in contention. Like, I have him in my top three of people in there.
You are right about that, but you know who else is damn good at
Bristol?
Don't
tell me Jimmy Johnson.
No, it's not Jimmy Johnson. Kyle Busch. Yeah. Kyle Busch is damn good
and
at
Bristol. And he hasn't had a win this year, so he's itching for a win.
It does seem like something he would win. Everyone hates, and he wins the All-Star race.
He won like four in a row.
Puff his chest
time.
Out.
He led like 100 laps, I think, in the earlier race this year. So, yeah, my top three, I had Elliott, Kyle Busch, and Keselowski, because I think those are going to be the guys up there for contention.
Do they wreck as often in the All-Star race, or do they kind of – is it kind of like an All-Star game in the NBA or a Pro Bowl in the NFL? Like, do they,
I think you get
like
$1 million if you win.
Okay, so they
I
probably do
be
races
going,
pretty
hard.
Yeah.
They're going to be going pretty hard. It's like a tournament.
I'm actually pumped for them to go with the Fast and Furious look with these lights under the car. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Have you seen them, Cody? The lights under the car?
Mm-mm. But way to mention Fast and the Furious again. Kyle Busch
won. I don't know how else you would explain them. They got strobe lights, or not strobe lights, but just glowing lights under the car.
Could have just called them glowing lights under the car.
Yeah, but I picture, them going to the starting block, getting ready to street race, and the lights are, got the neon lights under the car. It painted a better picture, you stupid idiot. Overrated, underrated. After the break, anything else to say?
Kyle Busch has got
go to break.
11 wins at Bristol.
DiVincenzo's
going to
win the Open.
Kyle Busch is winning the race.
DiVincenzo's going to win the Open.
DiVincenzo's going to win the Open.
Kurt Busch is good at the track, too.
Yeah. No, there's some good drivers in the main race.
What about Ricky? Ricky Stenhouse. What is his chance in the Open?
Low.
He probably wouldn't be my pick, but, I mean, he's been pretty good at times this year. Him and Blaney were pretty
going
at it recently.
Actually, I'm going with Bubba. Bubba's my
pick.
To win the race?
He may get into the main race just off, there's a fan vote winner gets in.
Oh, there's a fan vote winner gets in, too?
Yeah, so basically you can –
So there's two ways to get in. You can either win the fan vote or win –
He did get a new sponsor. Did you see that? Cash App is now.
He's got two big sponsors the last 2 weeks. He got the Beats by Dre and the Cash App.
Yep.
Yeah, good for him.
Turns out
controversy. Maybe he'll get a better car from it.
Yeah.
Cash App can sponsor a race team, but they can't seem to ever pay out those winners.
What?
Cam does that thing all the time.
Oh, yeah.
People get paid, though. No,
I've seen people get it.
I saw someone get paid from the I've seen someone get paid from the the Coach Doug stuff, like being in their chat room or whatever, because they were sponsored by Cash App. And I knew a girl that got $50 from that.
Well, Cam never gets it.
I just shoot my shot.
Yeah,
that's what matters to me.
Yeah, it makes me sad that Cam isn't winning.
Cam never gets it. They need to give it to Cam.
Cody's last edition of Overrated, Underrated.
Stop saying that.
Coming up next.
Pressing.
Hey, it's Jamie with Open Franklin Motors on King.
John writes in, he's up in Bristol, said, not sure how many tickets are sold, but about 60% of people there for the Bristol race are from out of town. Said, locals aren't exactly thrilled with the city.
I thought you were going to say 60% of people there have coronavirus.
Yeah, no. But said that mostly everybody's coming in from out of town and that the city of Bristol not exactly thrilled, or the people of Bristol not exactly thrilled with people bringing in a bunch of out-of-towners.
Yeah, I imagine that's, that's a concern.
It's one. I mean, I guess it's maybe better that it's a weekday and like people aren't going to be there for a whole weekend. Although, you know, I know for usual Bristol races, people will camp out and set up shop for like a whole week. But
probably still going to be a lot of tailgating because a lot of stuff around there is like private owners that kind of just let you use their land for tailgating. So there's probably still going to be some tailgating out there.
Yeah. Before we get to overrated, underrated, I just want to say that it is brought to you by our friends at Iris Networks. When you make the switch and upgrade your business communications, you'll make no payments for 90 days. That could come in handy right now during a pandemic. So go to Iris Networks USA, fiber-based solutions to supercharge your business, a Tennessee business connecting you around the world. Call 865-448-IRIS. Hit the music, Cam.
Overrated. Very overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I want to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
It's Cody's last overrated, underrated ever in history.
Now he's got an intro.
For your last one, I had to send you out one.
Thanks.
But, oh, boy, are you ready to play? Are you prepared?
I don't think this is one that's more – this one's not really a competition. It's just kind of,
you got to be ready.
I mean, I'm always ready for overrated, underrated. It's my favorite segment. Yeah. Well, it used to be. Now trivia is my favorite, which I lost. So – way to send me out on that.
Hopefully,
one.
You try and win this one.
Send you on your back, just like Bret Hart was supposed to do. Just go out on your back, do the job.
I think you were thinking of Owen Hart.
He went out on his chest.
God.
He went out on his chest.
R.I.P.
Let's see.
Okay.
You know, rewatching old school wrestling, I have a huge new appreciation for Owen Hart. He was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't have that appreciation for him when I was younger because I hated him because he was a bad guy, which he was doing his job, but a lot of appreciation
for him.
Made
him good.
The Hart family really got a raw deal from WWF when you think about it.
Yeah.
Between Bret getting screwed and Owen, them not properly securing Owen in his stunt, they got a really raw deal from
And then you WWF. Had Jimmy Hart. He ended up just kind of going around the South with a megaphone doing his thing.
Yeah. All right, Cam, take control of the game, please. We're running out of time, guys.
All right. First up, we have.
No, we don't have all day. That is not the case.
We can just stay on the air.
First up, we have quesadillas.
I got to go overrated. I'm not a huge fan of melted cheese, to be honest. I like melted cheese.
Freak.
It does sound weird saying it. Like, when I eat, like, hamburgers or cheeseburgers, I guess, I prefer the cold slice of cheese on the warm burger. Kind of let that be a contrast. That's what I prefer at cookouts and stuff. But I do say I like melted cheese, obviously, on pizza or nachos, but that's about it.
Just eat shredded cheese on
sauce
bread.
No, yep. So I'm going to go overrated on the quesadilla, not a huge fan. It's going to be a taco.
I go underrated.
What makes the quesadilla better than a taco? Why not just do a taco?
Well, it's the – what kind of taco?
Just any taco. I don't know.
Well, the taco's not seared on one side. That's what makes the quesadilla good, the crispiness, the crunch.
Okay. I mean, I was asking.
I mean, taco's got a crunch, too, but it's a different kind of –
different crunch.
You know. The quesadilla, I'm going to say underrated for the simplicity of it. It's basically the grilled cheese of Mexican food. It's why I said that grilled cheese – we had grilled cheese a while back. I said grilled cheese is underrated for the simplicity. You don't hardly need anything to make one. You can make a cheese quesadilla with a tortilla, a little bit of oil, and some cheese. That's all you need. Now you can, you know, kick it up a little, you know, put you some buffalo sauce with some rotisserie chicken in there, steak or some grilled onions and peppers, whatever you want to do. But the simplicity of it, to me, makes it underrated. Love a good quesadilla. You can tell. I'm talking about a quesadilla you make yourself, by the way, or you get at a real restaurant. Like the Taco Bell quesadilla, I don't think it's that great.
Makes sense. Homemade's always good.
Man, just a nice warm burger with a cold slice of cheese. So good.
Nothing better.
So good.
Nothing better, except if you heated it up.
That sounds really good.
Only thing better is melting it.
All right.
It's too hot. Gotta have a contrast.
Next up, we
have... Take control of the game, Cam.
Next up, we have Sleeping with the Fan On.
I feel like we've done this one before.
Yeah, I mean, I sleep with a fan on every night, but it's mostly for the sound. I would actually say that maybe it's a little overrated.
We've definitely done this.
Because sometimes the fan hits me in the night, and I get a little cold.
Yeah.
Or it makes my throat a little raspy, so I'll say it's probably a little bit overrated because I know a lot of people swear by it, but I just do it for the sound. Because I turn my, like, big air conditioner on, like, really, really low. Like, I'm sleeping, like, 65 when I go to sleep. So, like, it's not even for the temperature. Again, it's just for the sound. And, you know, I start listening to music, some soothing music, some podcasts or something, and that's done a pretty good job. I might could turn the fan off these days, to be honest. That's all I got.
I go underrated. I like having the fan on. I like being under the blankets, but also having the fan on. You get that cooling sweep of air on your head. It's great. And well, like you said, it does make you a little raspy, and as someone who's professionally known for having a little bit of a rasp, I got to keep my voice up to par.
You're saying
so? I smoke two cigarettes a week. Each week, I'll smoke two Marlboro Red 100 cigarettes, and I'll keep the fan on high every night, and that gives me the perfect amount of rasp to where I don't sound like an old woman named Helen, who's been smoking Pall Malls all her life. But I got a little rasp, you know. Two Marlboro Light or Marlboro Red 100s a week, that does the trick. You don't want any more than that. You'll get addicted to cigarettes, and smoking's bad. Remember that, kids.
Big no nicotine for the
Unless
kids.
Unless you're going into radio and you want to have a raspy voice, and then, you know, maybe a couple cigarettes a week.
All right. Next up we have...
I don't actually smoke.
Aaron Andrews.
Who?
Aaron Andrews.
Just kidding.
Aaron Andrews, I mean, at this point, she's probably underrated because I feel like at this point, she's not very highly rated at all. Like, where the hell is Aaron Andrews at these days? She's on Fox, right? Is she still on Fox?
I think, yeah.
Because I think I remember doing, like, something with the WWE when they first moved over there, but she's kind of just gone. Like, for a while, she was probably the biggest name in sports media for women, right? Like, especially when it came to sideline reporting and stuff. I mean, she was a huge deal. Then the whole thing in Nashville, which she won a lot of money, but I don't know how much money she's collected of that. Like, she won a bunch of money, but I doubt that guy has all the money to pay her. And, like, I don't know. Did the hotel, were they held accountable at all? Maybe. Either way, she's kind of gone by the wayside to the point where I would say she is probably underrated because, you know, she is one of the, she belongs on the Mount Rushmore of sideline reporters of the last, you know, 30 years or so. I still feel comfortable saying that. She's one of the top four, right? Right?
Yeah.
Of the last 30 years?
From, like, name recognition, too. If it just
like Michelle Tafoya. That. I go with Michelle Tafoya. Aaron Andrews is on there. Marty Smith, I don't know like who else is on there, but Susie Colbert.
Doris Burke.
Yeah, Doris doesn't really do the sidelines as much anymore. She does every now and then, but yeah, like Aaron doesn't ever do play-by-play, but anyways.
Oh, I got to go overrated. The guy killed two people. He played for the Florida Gators. I mean, he was a patriot. I mean, he's pretty much the antithesis of everything good about sports. You know, the Patriots... Are the Florida Gators and the Patriots not the two least favorite teams of everyone who are football fans? Pretty much.
No.
Pretty much. The Florida Gators are the most hated college football team, and the Patriots are the most hated NFL team. That's true.
I don't think Florida
is. Yes, it is. It's true.
I'd say like Notre Dame or Ohio State or Alabama.
Well, also the guy killed two people, so I got to say Aaron Hernandez overrated.
All right, fair enough. Cam?
All right. Let's keep it moving. All right. Next up I have Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck's had a weird career where he went from underrated when he was just like Matt Damon's sidekick in Good Will Hunting. You're like, oh, that guy's kind of goofy. He's got some bad teeth, but he's charming. And then he went to like really overrated after Armageddon. And then he got like Reindeer Games and Gigli. And next thing you knew, he was dating Jennifer Lopez. And who knows what the hell was going on. And then he went to be really, really underrated whenever he was like, you know what? Boom, here's The Town. How you like them apples? And here's Argo. And here I am doing everything. And then wait. Come on, Ben. You can't be Batman, bro. You can't be Batman. That's too far. You're not Batman level. And then now he's become underrated again because, you know, he's just kind of out there. I don't see. Is he doing anything recently? What's the last movie Ben Affleck's done? Is Ben Affleck still acting?
I think he's been directing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I know he had gotten into directing, but I just didn't know. Like, for a while, I think he was directing movies he was in, right? Or no? You know what? Yeah, I've always kind of. I kind of think Casey's better. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Ben Affleck versus Casey Affleck. Who you got? Do you know who Casey Affleck is?
Yes, that's his brother.
But do you know who he is?
His younger brother, actor Casey Affleck, who starred in other movies. What were Casey Affleck movies?
I mean, he was in Good Will Hunting. I mean, he was just a little weirdo in Good Will Hunting.
He was in that Manchester by the Sea movie.
Manchester by the Sea, won a bunch of awards. One. He was in Ghost Story. Oh man, you want to watch a movie that'll make you just feel pain and suffering? Watch Ghost Story. I think it's still on Netflix, Cody. Watch Ghost Story and tell me that it doesn't make you want to kill yourself.
I'm going to say I don't need a movie to want to kill myself. I'm going to say that the worst movie or that the Affleck family in general is overrated. Ben Affleck, my last overrated, underrated, and Ben Affleck is one of the – Ben Affleck makes the cut camp.
What's wrong with Ben
for
Affleck?
For God's sake.
Please.
Ben Affleck.
Think before you speak. Ben Affleck is good. The Affleck family is good.
They're not great.
Think about Gone Girl. How good was Gone Girl? It was
never
so good.
It.
The Town.
Never saw it.
Never saw Gone Girl?
No.
Never saw The Town?
I saw The Town. The Town was good. Although,
The Town was good.
Although,
I mean Jeremy Renner.
It's basically a spinoff of Heat. Yeah. 10 years before.
I mean, that's fine, but Jeremy Renner, whenever he tells him, if I come back, I'm cracking your skull.
The Town was good. It ain't no Heat, though. It ain't no Heat, I tell you that.
The Town was pretty good.
It was good.
I like that Ben Affleck doesn't take himself too seriously. He was in, like, the Clerks movies. He was in Jay and Silent Bob, did Mallrats. He did Chasing Amy.
He was in Armageddon, wasn't he?
He was in Armageddon. Man, that movie makes me cry every time whenever he's like, Harry, Dazed
and Confused.
It was my job. He's the bully in Dazed and Confused.
That's right.
He's the one that wants to paddle everybody.
Yeah, but he's not even the.
He was a pretty big role. Ben Affleck's been around for a long time, bro.
I know that.
Have there been misses? Sure. Pearl Harbor wasn't great. Reindeer Games wasn't great.
I liked Pearl Harbor. My grandma had that movie when I was younger.
Runner Runner with Justin Timberlake, not very good.
The Third Wheel.
Justice League. I feel like people didn't like that. Or Batman versus
Reindeer
Superman.
Reindeer Games.
I already mentioned Reindeer Games, but he's got
Boiler
classics.
Room.
He wrote. Him and Matt Damon wrote Good Will Hunting when they were like 19.
Batman versus Superman.
I just mentioned that.
There's a lot of misses in there.
There's some hits, though. Chasing
He Gamey. Wasn't even the third best actor in Good Will Hunting.
Who was the third?
Good Will Hunting was about Matt Damon and Robin Williams.
Who was the third?
Well, him. But I'm
You just saying, said he wasn't the third. He was the third.
Well, that's what I meant. I said he wasn't even a top two actor in Good
okay,
Will Hunting.
Okay, he's going to get
Who's on the cover?
He's going
you buy
to,
the Good Will Hunting movie cover. Who's on the cover?
He's
it's
going
Matt Damon against, and Robin Williams.
He's going up against two heavyweights, but didn't he, like, write it?
I don't know, maybe.
I'm pretty sure him and Affleck wrote, or him and Matt Damon
well,
wrote that
put
movie.
Put him in the Writers Guild Hall
Dogma,
of Fame. Not an actor.
Dogma. Great.
Not a
it
great
wasn't
actor.
His acting ability. It's just him in general. He's underrated. Casey Affleck, also good. Watch Ghost Story. I'm telling you. It's going to tear you apart. It's going to tear you apart. A slow death.
The Affleck family can stay the Affleck out of my life for all I care. I don't need them. Don't need them around.
Last call on the other side is Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.